Home prices rise, but not everywhere.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
You're listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, December 29th at marketplace.org. I'm Bill Radke. Wall Street is just starting its day, and we're looking at news affecting the economy and consumers. We have a somewhat encouraging report this morning on November home prices, and General Motors could be looking to clear out its remainder bin. We'll get to that in a moment. First, where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 is up 0.1%. The NASDAQ is flat, and the Dow is ahead 23 points. So far this morning, it's at 10,570. Home builder stocks are up about 0.6%. We'll talk about that home prices news in a moment. European stocks are up around 0.5% in light holiday trading, and Asian markets rose slightly today. So we got news this morning. U.S. home prices rose last month for the fifth month in a row. It's called the Case-Shiller Index, and it rose a slight 0.4%. Analyst Julie Neiman is here from Smith Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Bill.
So only half of the big cities in this index actually saw price gains, but still, five monthly increases in a row. Does that mean it's up from here?
Well, it's a positive bit of news, but the biggest problem is we have so much inventory, so much overhang. At the end of the third quarter, about 5.5 million houses were still for sale. Then there's something called the shadow housing, the stuff that the banks aren't telling you about. It's 90 days delinquent. That's close to 2 million. Right now, housing pickup is due to that $8,000 tax credit and artificially low interest rates. If we can continue that on for a long period of time, then we can work this off. But this is very tenuous at best.
Well, the tax credit has been extended, so let's talk about the interest rates part of it. What do you see in the new year?
Probably interest rates are going to be going up. The United States Treasury has big needs to raise money, and they've kept interest rates extraordinarily low for a long period of time. They can't fight it anymore. They've got to raise funds to pay down some of the major things that they have to pay for. So we're going to be looking at interest rates going up, and that could put the kibosh on the housing recovery.
Let me ask you about the stock market, Julie, because people have been predicting a correction for months now, but the S&P 500 index is at its high point for the year. How can this be?
Well, the market is up 70% from the lows, and this Santa Claus rally looks like it's going to continue on at least through the first couple of days of the new year. In fact, a 1.5% advance is on average since 1950 for the Santa Claus rally. But this one is really being determined, the most recent, due to earnings. They've come off of record lows. That's already priced in. But we're going to be looking at in the future here global prospects, and liquidity is a huge problem. Most of the money is going into the stock market because there's no other place to go with interest rates this low. If interest rates go up, then the bond market's going to be very attractive, especially the corporate bond market. That will siphon money off from the stock market. So again, Santa Claus rally for the first part of the year, but follow interest rates. That's going to be the driver for 2010.
Analyst Julie Neiman from Smith Moore & Company. Thank you.
You bet.
In other news this morning, the Wall Street Journal reports you might expect some big bargains on GMs for the next couple of weeks. Elisa Roth covers the auto industry for Marketplace, and she's live in our New York bureau. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
What is GM doing?
Well, as you said, GM needs to clear out its inventory. There are two brands it's discontinuing, Saturn and Pontiac, and it's offering dealers of those cars an incentive of $7,000 a car to buy the vehicles themselves. Now, the catch is that incentives always cost the car maker, and we don't know how much this one is going to cost GM. That said, car buyers could get a great deal on these cars if the dealers decide to pass that incentive money on.
How great a deal?
Well, 50% off on some models. If you take the Pontiac G3, it's a compact car as an example. It usually goes for about $15,000. If the dealer passed on that incentive to you, it would cost $8,000.
And is that as great a deal as it sounds like?
I talked to Eric Merkel this morning. He's an industry analyst based in Michigan. He says it more or less is.
You're getting a car really at a used car price that is a new car, and you're able to drive it for a number of years.
Where it's not such a great bargain is if you want to resell this car. They don't have much resale value anyway because GM is getting rid of the brands.
Yeah, what about the warranty on a dead brand?
Well, GM says that it'll honor the warranties, and it has done that in the past. The other thing is that GM's cars share a lot of parts, so you shouldn't have a problem getting parts for these cars.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
We know 2009 has been a tough year for the economy and for markets all over the world, but it looks like things are ending on an up note. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a high for the year, and it wasn't just us. Overnight, Tokyo's Nikkei Index closed near its yearly high. But their stellar performer has been the British stock market. More on that from Stephen Beard in London.
The FTSE 100, the index of the London market's top 100 shares, put on an extra spurt this morning, and it passed a milestone. The index has now regained all the ground it lost since September last year when Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. London's doing much better than Wall Street. To recover its post-Lehman losses, the S&P 500 would have to rally by a further 11%. Mike Lenhoff is a strategist with brokers Brewin Dolphin. He says London surpassed New York because it's a more international market, plugged into the big emerging economies in the East.
I think what it reflects is the recovery that's coming through in the global economy, and in particular, the recovery that is being led very differently this time around by the emerging economies, and in particular, the Asian Pacific region.
He says one-third of London's FTSE 100 is made up of energy and mining stocks that are booming on ever-rising demand from China. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Securities and Exchange Commission is getting an earful from investment advisors. They're commenting on rules the SEC is considering that would prohibit them from making political contributions to win state business. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The SEC wants to stop what's known as pay-to-play. Say I'm a financial advisor. I want to be hired to advise a state pension fund. I make a contribution to a politician in charge of awarding state contracts, and presto, I'm hired.
Advisors are hired because they're favorites or political friends, the exact reasons you probably shouldn't be hiring one of these advisors.
That's Lynn Turner. He's a former chief accountant at the SEC. He likes the proposed rules. They would prohibit investment advisors from working for state and local officials for 2 years if they made contributions of $250 or more. And the SEC would bar advisors from hiring third parties to try to drum up business. The agency is getting lots of comments on that. Small investment advisors say they need help marketing themselves. David Reuter says they have a point. He was chair of the SEC from 1987 to 89.
The smaller investment advisors don't have the ability to market themselves the way that the large investment advisors can.
The SEC commissioners will have the last word. They're expected to vote on a final rule early next year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
As we get set to ring in the new year, it is a good bet that some of us have memories from 2009 that we'd rather forget. Yesterday, organizers of New York City's New Year's Eve celebration set up a shredder on Times Square to celebrate the third annual Good Riddance Day. Reporter Raphael Cohen was there.
People standing in line wanted to forget everything from noisy neighbors and student loans to cellulite. So they wrote those words on pieces of paper and fed them into a shredder.
Happy New Year.
Lori Raimondo helps organize Good Riddance Day. She says New Year's Eve is all about hope for the future.
And before you can start anew for the new year, you really got to say goodbye to some bad things first.
Brett Ortiz, a security guard from Manhattan, knows all about that. He broke up with his wife this year and lost his job.
You know, I was a very faithful worker. I was on time. You know, I did my job, and they just got rid of me.
Ortiz fed a drug test he passed for work into the shredder. Raimondo says people like Ortiz were common this year.
There's a theme for each year, and this year you do see quite a few that have to do with losing a job, and they want to say goodbye to looking for a job.
Ortiz is hoping for the best. At least he found a new girlfriend. In New York, I'm Raphael Cohen for Marketplace.
The new movie Up in the Air is in theaters. That's the George Clooney flick about a guy who spends his whole life flying around the country firing people. He becomes addicted to the airline miles. Well, if you're up in the air this week, you might find some people like that flying with you, trying to get as many miles as they can before the end of the year. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has that.
In Up in the Air, George Clooney's character is so obsessed with his air miles, he uses them to pick up women.
What's your total?
That's a personal question.
Oh, please.
And we hardly know each other.
Oh, come on. Impress me.
Turns out Clooney's character is on his way to a lifetime total of 10 million miles, which isn't such a crazy number to some.
I've earned about 205,000 elite qualifying miles for the year.
I met up with Matthew Clint at JFK Airport. His elite status gets him upgrades, priority boarding, and a host of other perks every time he flies. He's a law student in Philadelphia, and today he's on his way to visit family in L.A.
I'm flying from Philadelphia to Washington, Washington to New York, New York to San Francisco, and then San Francisco to L.A.
He's not doing that because of some screw-up at United Airlines. He's doing it because he'll get more miles. And because if one of those flights is oversold, he asks for a cash voucher so he can buy airline tickets and get even more miles. Clint says he's had plenty of company on his recent mileage runs.
There was another gentleman who took a bump in San Francisco with me Sunday, and he was asking the gate agent to route him very oddly. The agent was laughing and said, oh, it's the end of the year, isn't it?
These days, many business travelers are playing the same game. Webster O'Brien is an aviation strategy consultant with SHE.
Many companies have rolled back some of the benefits that are incorporated as part of their standard corporate package. And so people look to their frequent flyer status to augment what's not there.
So if the company is only going to buy you a coach ticket, you might be able to get into business class anyway. And lest you think these mileage runners are scamming the airlines, Webster O'Brien says,
the airlines find that their high-frequency travelers are well worth the perks that they spill on them. So I think it's more of a win-win than necessarily a scam.
In New York, holding a mere American gold status, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A pricing quarrel between Fox Broadcasting and Time Warner Cable could leave viewers without their favorite shows starting New Year's Day. Fox wants more carriage fees for its local and national programs. If Time Warner doesn't cough up, it will lose American Idol, The Simpsons, House, and NFL football from its lineup. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
This dispute may be over carriage fees, but the ads sound more like a wrestling show SmackDown. Here's Time Warner.
With TV networks demanding massive price increases, hundreds of thousands of you have spoken out. You've told us to get tough.
And in the other corner, Fox.
No Simpsons?
No!
No 24?
This is over!
No Fox? No way. TV with no Fox? Thanks a bundle, Time Warner Cable.
Philip Swan of TVPredictions.com thinks it's unlikely Time Warner will flinch at this point, meaning its cable systems in New York, Los Angeles, and other major markets could be no Fox zones by New Year's Day.
TV providers are saying, look, we've got to cut costs, and the broadcasters are obviously saying, we've got very valuable programming that people want, and we're going to demand more money for it. And who loses? The consumer, as always.
Time Warner urges subscribers to vote online against Fox's price hikes to prevent higher cable bills. Fox tells viewers to vote on its website and to junk Time Warner Cable for satellite TV. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, an Anglican priest is telling poor people to go forth and shoplift. British Reverend Tim Jones told his parishioners on Sunday shoplifting does not violate the Eighth Commandment against stealing if you're desperate and you take from large companies. Jones says the bigger companies just pass the cost of theft on to the rest of us. The local archdeacon says the opinions expressed are those of Reverend Jones and not of the Church of England. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.